having a big brother who's also very much into music, Michael, when I was 13, my parents bought me for Christmas one of the good old-fashioned tape cassette players. And Michael knew that parents had bought me that. So Michael then did me compilation tapes, one being Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells, which had only just recently come out, and then a compilation of Pink Floyd's Atom Heart Mother and Echoes, the two best tracks that they did at that time. Then there was Kingdom Come's Journey, which was a very, very progressive record by, no need to go into that too deeply. But I had all this wonderful music to listen to. And at that point in time, nobody had heard of Mike Oldfield, really. And I would play this music to my friends. So we'd go out, we'd sit outside the school, and I'd switch on the tape cassette machine. We'd all listen to it, and we all loved it. And we were all getting into different bands like Wishbone Ash, Man from Man's Earth Band, and all these bands that we could go and see live from 14, 15 years of age. The first band I went to see was Focus. Then after that, I went to see, I can't even remember which bands we went to see, but we used to go and see bands like Man from Man all the time. We used to go and see bands like Wishbone Ash all the time. I loved Barclay James Harvest, which all my friends considered to be an insult to music. The Poor Man's Moody Blues, but I loved it, and I'd go and see them a lot. Now, listening to all this live music and listening to music on, so I'd sit at home and just listen to music. I'd listen to Yes all the time. I'd listen to Genesis all the time. I'd listen to Van de Graaff Generator all the time. And I would learn these by listening to the songs. I'd kind of learn the song. So I'd be humming all what I'd be singing away the lyrics to Tales of a Topographic Oceans. And my brother would turn around and say, look, you can do that, but you can't figure out formulas in mathematics, but you can sing these really complex lyrics at the drop of a hat. What's up with you? And I wasn't very much of an academic. I didn't like anything to do. I did manage to get my O levels and my A levels, and I went to university, dropped out twice, didn't like it. And what I wanted to do was to play as well. So I managed to convince a few friends, and because they too were very, very keen, and we decided to try and form a band. So this was myself, Bogdan Boabat, Chris Boabat, the middle brother, and at that point in time, we also managed to get in Mickey Dalton, a friend of ours from school. And so that's two guitarists, one bassist, myself, Chris on drums. And we had no place to rehearse. Thankfully, my granny decided to go and visit one of her daughters in the Midlands. So for 2 weeks, her rooms were getting free. This was back in early 1977. So this was just prior to my brother getting married. My brother was living with my grandmother. At that point in time, my middle brother, Richard, was also living with my grandmother's. And it already built up that this house in Elmfield Road was a very popular meeting point for the Bogdanovich and the Chahanovich, and everybody would go. And so my brother would have little jam sessions with his friends as well, because my brother had an electric guitar and things like that. And whilst my granny was away for 2 weeks, we set up in her flat. We put up a drum kit, which was Chris's, and we had these amplifiers and everything. And we just go in and built out songs by bands like Budgie, and basically they were more metal-y songs and things like that. Very simple, very... we could not play well, definitely. And occasionally I managed to convince my middle brother, Richard, to sing for us. So this lasted for about 2 weeks. And we enjoyed it immensely. It was great fun. We would sit there for hours just jamming and, you know, we'd pop out and buy cans of beer, bring them back, sit there and think, oh, what song can we play next? And then we'd go downstairs to Michael's room, because Michael's room was still there. Michael had a very large record collection. And because Michael was almost getting married and everything, he would be out a lot with his wife-to-be, Basha. And so things were going free, and we would play some of his records. He had the most incredible hi-fi system, unbelievable top-quality hi-fi system. And we would listen to all these wonderful albums that we've never heard of in our lives, building up our understanding and repertoire of music. So what happened after that was that we wanted to continue somehow, and the club had been rebuilt and everything by then, and there was a Sala Młodzieżowa. And to my knowledge, it wasn't being used very much. I mean, Carl Pine used it for things, and Hood used it, but it wasn't used very much by the Młodzież. I mean, KSMP occasionally would go down there and use it. Hrzeszów would occasionally use it, but they had Bursa, Nightingale Lane, so they didn't really need it. And KSMP much preferred to use the Czerwona Sala upstairs than go downstairs to the Sala Młodzieżowa, because it was a bit, already it was getting a bit damp. So the insulation wasn't the best. Best made. It had problems with floodings and things like that. So I talked to my dad, who's secretary of a club, and I said, look, you've got some Młodzieżowa, we're Młodzież, we'd like to be able to use it. And he agreed. He said, fine, yeah, you know, go and talk to the managers of a club and see what they do. Now, one of the managers is Pan Wichling, a very, very nice, sweet man, whose son, Boguś, Bob Wichling, Bob Schilling, was in a band called The Fingerprints at that point in time. And so Pan Wichling was very, very much aware of his son. You know, he's a drummer with The Fingerprints, and Pan Wichling was very much aware of what his son and how much his son loved music and everything else. So he was very open to the idea of letting us use the club. So what used to happen was that we would prefer to use it weekends, because of course school, at that point in time, we were repeating our A-levels, because we'd failed our A-levels the first time around. So we would prefer to use it on Saturdays and Sundays. And so sometimes we could use it for both. So sometimes on a Sunday, we'd go in there from about 10:30 in the morning and not leave until 10:30 in the evening. And it was a wonderful venue, because we knew all the Connecticut, we all knew the waitresses, we knew the bar people, we knew everybody there. They knew, well, by that time we were 18, so technically it was quite legal for us to buy the beer and everything or so. We could always go upstairs, buy beers, go downstairs and carry on working. And we didn't really bother about food very much. Occasionally we'd pop out across the road and buy a portion of chips and smuggle it into the club, because the club did not like you bringing food into the club. And we'd practice. And then we managed to convince Lech Bogdanowicz to sing for us. In that we were desperate. We had nobody to sing for us. I did not want to work with my brother. And we asked a few girls, and the girls weren't very interested in, why would we want to sing with you? You're rubbish. But Lech, after a few pints, said, okay, I'll give it a go, anything for a laugh. And so we started writing material, our own material. And Lech sang for us. And it all went quite well for about a year. So we managed to play, we wrote about 10 songs, enough for a set. So we managed to play two or three gigs at a Polish club during discos organised by Konrad Kondziela. He at that point in time, he's in charge of, he's about a year older than me, he was in charge of, what was it called, Gniazdo, I think it was called, the discotheque, but we couldn't call it a discotheque, we had to call it Potańcówka przy płytach, because of a legality, because a discotheque would mean that we need security and things like that, whereas a potter in Stuttgart doesn't need security, things like that. So we used to have these potter in Stuttgart Przepucie, and during that, there'd be a 20-minute break where Lolo would, Conrad, nicknamed Lolo, would say, and here are the band, because we had no name. And we'd play our set. And after seeing us a few times, people were thinking, oh, some of these songs aren't bad, really. A bit repetitive in places and a bit naive, but quite interesting. Then Lech decided that's it. He's had enough, because we wanted to start booking places and going to one of the wonderful things about the 70s was that lots and lots of pubs had band nights where bands could play. And you would get part of the takings on the door if enough people turned up to cover your costs. But also it's a great way of practicing in front of a live audience. Free of charge, basically. You had to, the cost of transporting your equipment to the venue, but it was a great way of practicing. Lots and lots of bands did this in the 70s. It was just bands just blew up in the 70s. There were bands everywhere, but this was encouraged by punk and then the new wave. And we felt ourselves as part of this new wave. We were very, very influenced by bands like The Cure, New Order. Well, at that point in time, it was Joy Division, because New Order, Ian Curtis was still alive. We very much like The Associates. There's just lots and lots of bands that we loved at the time, and we wanted to do material more along in those lines, this new wave. And also, it opened up horizon for us. Like, we didn't have to follow any normal structure. We could do the songs the way we wanted to do the songs, and not sound American and not sound like this, not sound like that. And we formed a band called The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. And that was lots and lots of fun, which only lasted just over a year because of band intrigue, and then we fell apart. But during all of this time, we were also encouraging young people in our community, like Stasz Metelski, Mariusz Sorociński, and others, to we would leave our equipment in the basement in the Sala Młodzieżowa and told them, look, just go to the manager if you want to, ask for a key, and then you can get into the Schaffgarten and take out the equipment and practice yourselves. And lots of other, we did encourage other musicians to, to encourage them to be musical and to do things. Unhappy one decided to steal Bogdan's guitar, but well, that's by the by. And from that, some other bands formed through all of this. One of them was Helsinki That Way, which is Piotr Bławacz's band. But Bławacz were very, very musical. All three brothers are very musical. Bogdan's, they're all kind of multi-instrumentalists as well that we can play. Well, Peter is the best in that he plays keyboards, drums, guitar, and attempts to sing as well. And Helsinki That Way, you can listen to two of their tracks on YouTube if you like. Also, you can hear some Umbrellas of Cherbourg tracks on YouTube.